In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear family, as we prepare to celebrate our freedom of religion, whereby we can celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass on this 76th anniversary of D-Day, let us keep in the back of our mind the fact that 76 years ago today, 73,000 American men stormed the beaches of Normandy to protect our country, preserve our liberty against socialism, against the German Nazi socialists. And let us keep in mind that nobody, including Drew Brees, has to apologize to anybody for saying, "Do not disrespect our flag that honors 1,354,664 military deaths and another 1,498,240 wounded since 1776, all of whom died under the American flag." I should have a moment before Mass began to kind of quick review what it is that I had written and prepared for today since yesterday. And I X'd out something because I thought, even for me, it sounds a little inflammatory. But instead of that, let me just insert this. On my bed is a red, white, and blue comforter, and my shower curtain is the American flag. We don't disrespect the flag that gives us freedom. So really, all you criminal looters, if it's so bad here, move to Mexico, because there are plenty of people there willing to come and take your place here to work hard, to be responsible citizens, and contribute to the good of the country. And as one more preface, dear family, because we are Catholic, our faith demands that we strive to be good citizens. As we keep the roughly 3 million dead and wounded Americans in the back of our minds, and as we ponder the despicable riots, looting, and burning over the last 11 days, also keep in mind an amazing truth. The first March for Life, which was founded by Nellie Gray, was held on January 22nd, 1974, 46 years ago, with an estimated 20,000 supporters in peaceful attendance on the west steps of the Capitol. That March for Life has continued ever since. And in 46 years, the number has grown to an annual amount of more than 500,000 in Washington, D.C. alone, but also major marches in other major cities throughout this whole country, all to speak up and speak out for the million babies murdered every year in this country. So let's do the math and settle the issue about the criminal riots right here, right now. 46 years of marches, now with over 500,000 in D.C. alone, plus concurrent marches in almost every other state in the union to defend innocent children murdered at the rate of 1 million a year, zero police cars burned, zero broken shop windows and stolen pairs of Nikes, zero looting, zero foul language screamed at newspeople. Zero, 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 zero. Now let's compare that to just the last 11 days. The anarchy, the violence, the countless burned police cars that we, the honest, hardworking citizens, have paid for. Over 17,000 in National Guard called out that we pay for. And we could show videos of an estimated $400 million in looting, pillaging, burning damages from just the past 10 days. We could show a picture of the black retired policeman intentionally murdered in cold blood versus the unintentional death of one man at the hands of one bad apple, one of only a few amongst over 700,000 good law enforcement officers, who we, as law-abiding taxpayers, pay to serve and protect us from the criminal element, from the criminal who was unintentionally killed in Minneapolis. He was a criminal. We can compare 46 years of marching for life that honors about 60 million intentionally murdered babies and zero police cars burned versus 11 days of repugnant violence All over one unintentionally killed criminal and countless police cars burned. And then, dear family, just try and tell me that we owe any respect of any kind to the rioters and their cause. Keep that all in the back of your mind on this D-Day when we honor those who offered up their lives, who sacrificed themselves so that we could live in freedom under the American flag, especially for us today, freedom of religion. Truth hurts. They don't like to hear the truth because the truth hurts. Your family, most of you will not know this, not because it's your fault. Even I did not know this until yesterday, until Mr. Heilman pointed it out to me. Oh, he's so good. We are so blessed to have him in our parish. It's because we didn't know it, even I didn't know it, because so much of our church history was thrown out by bad actors after Vatican II. Before then, the parish family, you, dear family, really did have a Catholic parish family, an identity around which so much of our lives revolved in a beautiful, profoundly sacred annual rhythm. Now it seems the rhythm is reduced to just Advent and Easter, oftentimes just Christmas Day and Easter for the Christers. Now, as an aside, I'll be quick. One of the great complaints people had this year was they didn't get their palms because so many churches, we gave our palms out. So many churches around the country were closed, they couldn't even get their palms. It's a big day, Ashes, Palm Sunday, because Catholics get something for free. Big, big days for attendance. We were closed. The rhythm has been reduced to just that. Christers, Advent and Easter, for what it's worth. One gearing up for Santa Claus and presents right after Halloween. Can't wait for the proper season of Advent. Got to start after Halloween or even before. Christmas stuff, Santa stuff. The other gearing up for the Easter bunny and candy. That was not the case before, when we were immersed in the rhythm of daily and Sunday holy masses, which guided our lives throughout the whole year. And today, what I didn't know until Mr. Heilman told me, was we celebrate what is known as Ember Saturday after Pentecost. Ember Saturday after Pentecost. What does that even mean, you ask? Well, I'm going to tell you. There were four Ember weeks of the liturgical year. The third week of Advent, the first week of Lent, the octave of Pentecost, that's where we are now, and the week after the exaltation of the cross. I think that's September 15th, 14th or 15th. They belong to the most ancient features of our Roman Rite, our Catholic liturgical history. There were special masses, very special masses for Wednesdays, Fridays, and most importantly, Saturdays. As in the Easter Vigil, this Saturday Mass begins with the sequence of lessons, graduals, and collects, plural. And those of you who have attended the glorious Easter Vigil know that there are as many as seven readings, each with its own psalm, so seven psalms as well. It takes a long time. On these Ember days, like today, there also are several lessons one could choose. Although you surely notice, I exercised the legitimate option for just one. Now, in fairness, I wasn't being lazy or trying to make it easy for you. But those many lessons we could have had on Saturday today came before the time then there was this new modernist invention as Saturday Mass of Anticipation. If you really want to see me ruffle some feathers, just have me talk someday about that modernist post-Vatican II experiment on the Saturday Mass of Anticipation, which was sold to us as necessary for those who had to work on Sundays, like doctors and nurses. And it quickly became, as you have heard me call it before, not a mass of necessity, but a mass of convenience. And when our faith becomes convenience, we're lost. You'll hear St. Paul talk about that in just a moment. It's not a real vigil mass, this mass of anticipation. In a real vigil mass, you stayed up in church all night, fasting the whole time. And then you had the Holy Mass first thing in the Sunday morning. That is what a real vigil Mass is. Well, back to December Mass. In the early church, it was a time for most ordinations. That's when they would take place. And the liturgy did take up most of the night, ending with the Ember Mass celebrated early in the morning. Later, the Ember celebrations were shortened and a different Mass for Sunday was introduced. Well, since the Ember week after Pentecost, remember there are four, one is after Pentecost, it's also an octave of this feast. It has a more joyful character in the readings. Penitential elements, like the many genuflections, are omitted, and the graduals are replaced with alleluias. All this was part of our Catholic life for millennia. But as you know, Bignini and his ilk intentionally destroyed our Catholic ethos, all for the specific intent of eviscerating our sacred churches and our sacred liturgy because, God forbid, we offend a Protestant. But a family, from this moment on, if you ever even have the slightest pang of guilt or the slightest hint of the thought that we should change anything about our Catholic faith in order not to offend a Protestant, just remember John 6:66, the irony of John 6:66, when right after Jesus proclaimed the rather divisive bread of life discourse, every single Jew left Jesus except the apostles. Jesus did not change a thing, even when it meant that everyone left him except the apostles. He wasn't afraid of offending anybody with the truth of the faith. Thus, our motivation to change anything cannot be that we are afraid of offending a Protestant any more than Jesus was afraid of offending the Jews. So now let us ponder the sacred scripture from this Ember Saturday. We heard from St. Paul, but we glory also in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience trial, and trial hope, and hope confoundeth not, because the charity of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. Your family, even I sometimes think that the translation into English is like trying to read some of the original Shakespeare. So let us hear the translation in non-Shakespearean words. But we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proof in character, and proof in character, hope. And our hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We hear it in two different ways. Hope confoundeth not, and hope does not disappoint. Either way it's translated, hope is a result of our faith that is built in the midst of tribulations and afflictions. And to be honest, it is a better translation to say in the traditional form that we glory in our tribulations than it is to say in the more modern way, we boast of our afflictions. Boasting has nothing to do with it. Glorying in our tribulations says it properly and perfectly. Thus, we cannot be surprised that St. Peter pretty much said the exact same thing. Beloved, do not be surprised that a trial by fire is occurring among you, as if something strange were happening to you. But rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Same concept, St. Paul, St. Peter, St. Peter, St. Paul, same concept. So now let us apply this sacred scripture to our lives today. Yesterday, we meditated upon the godless evil known as Antifa and the culpable guilt of all those not so innocent protesters who absolutely enabled and sometimes participated in all the looting, rioting, and burning. All the mayhem stemmed from an underlying evil socialist ideology through which a sought after fundamental change in our society can be achieved by creating this state of anarchy and a through also including a disempowerment of legitimate law enforcement that keeps us all safe. There's a reason we say God bless our police and firemen. They're keeping us safe. The evil that underlies all that we have just seen is beyond measure, but unfortunately, there's so many low information people in general, and even more unfortunately, sometimes in the hierarchy, where they venture into areas that they do not have expertise in: political science, the New World Order, and the climate change hoax. And the next thing you know, as Margaret Thatcher astutely observed, they are supporting and promoting socialism. Well, dear family, without going into depth, just understand the following Catholic basic truth: social justice is not the same thing as socialism. Social justice is a personal duty for which each one of us are going to be held accountable on Judgment Day. We see this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, the Judgment of Nations, it is entitled. But in reality, it's not the judgment of nations as nations, but rather a particular judgment upon the individuals of every nation. In that judgment, as you know, each individual will be adjudicated as being either a sheep or a goat, depending upon how that individual acted pursuant to the two great commandments: love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. Socialism is entirely different from social justice. Socialism, in simplest terms, is a system of government whereby the state essentially owns everything, and where the elites, no more than about 3% of the population, live high on the hog at the top. Remember the Politburo, and they all had their dockas on the, what sea was it over there? I want to say Caspian, that's not it, Black Sea. Where the elites, no more than 3% of the top, live high on the hog, while the common man, all the comrades, about 97% of everybody else, are on the government dole. And watch out, if you ever criticize the government, for you would lose everything at the whim and caprice of the ruling elite. I mean, just think. Watch how close we are. Just think how the Democrat governors exercise such tyrannical control when they shut down our lives, our schools, our jobs. They shut down the NBA and NHL. If I ever thought the apocalypse was on us, they shut down sports. And they shut down spring training. Just think how they encouraged people to be tattletales on each other. That's straight out of communist Russia. And had people arrested because they gathered in groups greater than 10. That, dear family, was just a taste of the commie socialism they're trying to put upon us. And the end game of these socialist globalists is no God, all state. And we are just, you and I, as individual comrades, dispensable clogs in the wheel. Well, the attraction, the bill of goods that they try and sell us for socialism, is an alleged redistribution of wealth so that everyone is an unequal status. That, of course, is a big lie. The left wing advocates for socialism. The most blatant example in the political realm is Bernie Sanders, but it also includes less blatant examples, or less obvious, less open and notorious examples, as Obama and Pelosi. And seriously, dear family, get this. Bill Gates and Hillary Clinton, Henry Kissinger, and the Rockefeller descendants are not talking one world government and universal vaccination because they have any intention whatsoever of giving up their power and wealth. Oh, no, 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 no. They want to do away with the Second Amendment and institute gun control like they did in Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, and Communist China, so that they can rule over us, the rest of us, with an iron fist, and we can't do anything about it. That, dear family, by the way, is exactly why our founding fathers wrote the Second Amendment in the first place, to prevent the Bill Gateses and Obamas of the world from taking over. Well, for our purposes, dear family, far worse than reducing everyone to second-class citizens, comrades, is the godlessness of those elites. They are godless to the core, and they threaten then, as a consequence, our First Amendment freedom of religion. That's what concerns me and why I look out and see what I see and tell you the truth. Socialism is godless. which is so obvious from the history, the last 100 years of history of the socialists, Nazis, the Russians, and the Chinese, all of whom did everything in their power to destroy faith in God, which, like in Mexico in the 1920s, meant executing every priest they could find. Recently, someone asked me if I felt like I had a target on my back. I don't know. If telling the truth puts a target on my back, so be it. If there is one, though, dear family, no one understand that it was put there by godless socialists like Antifa and the left-wing fascists, or by today's equivalent of Caiaphas and the scribes and Pharisees currently sitting in the hierarchy who think they are beyond criticism and reproach. Understand, dear family, the fundamental evil of godless socialism. So obvious in the words of Hillary Clinton, who shamelessly stated that the government had to use power to force us to change our deep-seated religious beliefs. Understand, dear family, the fundamental evil of godless socialism, evident in any person, laity or clergy alike, who advocates for one world government, the climate change hoax, and other things. And realize this, as Gandalf tried to tell Saruman, those people who attain to such positions of power are not inclined to share it. So, dear family, as we see the world around us in an outrage, as we see the criminal element, and we see the division and disunity intentionally created by those who hate America, let us realize that we love our country and honor the sacrifices of our countrymen who we celebrate, when we who celebrate the right to life for all, we who get up each day and work hard to make ends meet, we love our country and we honor the sacrifices of our countrymen under the flag of the United States. We, faithful good citizens, are the targets of these godless anarchists and robbers and rioters. Knowing that, then, let us hold fast to the truth that we know, the unchanged and unchangeable truth, that we know, as we heard St. Peter say, no matter what, beloved, do not be surprised that a trial by fire is occurring among you, as if something strange were happening to you. We cannot be surprised. But rejoice. Rejoice, sing hallelujah, rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, who himself was put to death because he was the truth and he spoke the truth. Rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.